Don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us in the Word of God in the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew chapter 2, beginning at verse 7. Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared, and he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the young child, and when you have found him, bring back word to me, that I may come and worship him also." When they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then, being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. Now when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, "Arise, take the young child and his mother, flee to Egypt, and stay there until I bring you word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him." When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed for Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, "Out of Egypt I called my son." Then Herod, when he saw that he was deceived by the wise men, was exceedingly angry, and he sent forth and put to death all the male children who were in Bethlehem and in all its districts, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he determined from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, "A voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation, weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, refusing to be comforted because they are no more." Now when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, "Arise, take the young child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who sought the young child's life are dead." Then he arose, took the young child and his mother, and came into the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning over Judea instead of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And being warned by God in a dream, he turned aside into the region of Galilee. And he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets, "He shall be called a Nazarene." Verses 7 to 23, Matthew chapter 2. And then looking briefly in the book of Exodus, Exodus chapter 1, beginning at verse 15. Then the king of Egypt spoke to the Hebrew midwives, of whom the name of one was Shiprah, and the name of the other Puah. And he said, "When you do the duties of a midwife for the Hebrew women, and see them on the birth stools, if it is a son, then you shall kill him. But if it is a daughter, then she shall live." But the midwives feared God, and did not do as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the male children alive. So the king of Egypt called for the midwives and said to them, "Why have you done this thing and saved the male children alive?" And the midwives said to Pharaoh, "Because the Hebrew women are not like the Egyptian women, for they are lively and give birth before the midwives come to them." Therefore God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and grew very mighty. And so it was, because the midwives feared God, that he provided households for them. So Pharaoh commanded all his people, saying, "Every son who is born you shall cast into the river, and every daughter you shall save alive." Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you for your powerful, wonderful, and blessed word that counsels us, guides us, empowers us, and helps us to hear your voice and hear your heart and walk in it as well. More and more, Lord, help us to be faithful hearers and doers of your word. Help us to be wise enough to be believers who are seeking to love you with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And Lord, like Joseph in the New Testament, like Shiprah and Puah in the Old Testament, help us to be courageous enough to hear your word and obey your word and courageously follow your word. Help us to know, Lord, that that's what you call all of us to do, to courageously hear your word and follow it, and your will can and will be done in the world as we do that. Thank you for that opportunity. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our producer is Rick Robertson. Rick is going to share a word of prayer at this time as well.
Father, we're thankful that we can come to you with all of our needs today, that we can come to you and recognize you as the Almighty God, the only God, the one true God. We praise you today, Father. We lift high your name. We're thankful to know that you are the sovereign God, that you're in control of everything in this world, that nothing happens without your permission. And things happen, Father, that we don't understand. I know you know that. But, Father, we do trust in you. We rest in you. We exalt you today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thanks, Rick. Thank you again for being a part of our listening family. We're continuing to urge you, if you have not already, to take the time to go and watch the movie In His Image. Again, In His Image is a critical and urgent message designed to equip the church to help answer culturally controversial questions about gender and sexuality from a biblical perspective. It is a feature-length documentary produced by American Family Studios with much-needed truth that's shared with compassion, clarity, and insight as it relates to these critically important issues. Hope that you'll take time to do that. Again, if you'd like to watch it, go to inhisimage.movie. Again, that's inhisimage.movie. You can watch it for free online. Hope you'll take the time to do just that. We're honored to have, from Cincinnati, Ohio, Pastor Arnold Culbreth. He's the Director of Ministry Engagement with the Douglas Leadership Institute, amongst other things. Pastor Culbreth, how are you today?
I'm doing very well, Pastor Parker. Thank you for having me back on the program.
Okay, great to have you back. It's been a little while, but good to have you. And I'm going to ask as we start, if you'll take a moment to further introduce yourself to our listeners. Some might know of your work that you did some years ago when you were connected to the Life Issues Institute and maybe other work as well. So if you could just further introduce yourself, and then we want to get right into what you're wanting to share today.
Amen. Amen. Well, I want to thank the listeners for joining us wherever they may be, and I pray that this time together is encouraging and refreshing and perhaps even a little challenging. But my name is Pastor Arnold Culbreth. I live in Cincinnati, Ohio, and I serve as the National Director of Ministry Engagement with the Douglas Leadership Institute. Been in the pro-life movement full-time for quite some time now. But, Pastor Parker, as you talked about, I had the privilege of working with the late pro-life pioneer, Dr. Jack Wilkie, who founded Cincinnati Right to Life, the Ohio Right to Life, the National Right to Life, and the International Right to Life Federation. While working 8 years with him in the early 2000s, I founded an organization within Life Issues Institute called Protecting Black Life. The Lord opened doors for us to share this message not only across the United States, but in various places throughout the globe, Africa, England, Scotland, Trinidad and Tobago, and other places. In my role with Douglas Leadership Institute, let me talk about Douglas Leadership Institute briefly first. It's a national education and public policy 501c3 organization founded in 2015, and it's headed up by our chairman, my dear friend, Pastor Dean Nelson. And we call it DLI for short for the listeners, Douglas Leadership Institute. But DLI has representatives and groups across the United States. Our philosophy is based on the sanctity of human life, the promotion of free market principles, and limited government. Our mission statement is to educate, equip, and empower faith-based leaders to embrace and apply biblical principles to life and in the marketplace. So I get the opportunity to meet with pastors and ministry leaders to advance our mission and vision, serving as our chief engagement officer. And we primarily focus in a handful of targeted states, Florida, Georgia, Michigan, North Carolina, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Texas, and Virginia. But the Lord continues almost daily increasing our territory to reach into other states and its leaders as well.
Okay. All right. And so so the Douglas Leadership Institute is what you're mainly sharing about and the vision and the work that you're doing with them today, correct?
That's correct, but I will share with the listeners that just so they have a little bit of a sense of me, and I'm always told I need to do better with talking about what I do and who I am. I always struggle with that because I'm so focused on God, first of all, and secondly, on the message. Mm-hmm. But I'm always told, you know, you need to tell a little bit more about yourself so people know how to draw on the gift of God that you are. But I am a pastor. I serve on a pastoral team in a wonderful church, People's Church and People's Church Network in Cincinnati, Ohio, in our church in Clifton area of Cincinnati, Ohio. We have 35 nations represented in our church, so very multiracial, multi-ethnic, generationally rich church. And we also have People's Church Network with churches around Cincinnati. We have a People's Church St. Louis. Yesterday, as part of our morning worship service, we prayed and launched and sowed significant seed into the ministry team for People's Church Cape Town that will launch in the spring of 2021 and on and on and on. I also run my own business, my wife and I, organization, Breath of Life, which is basically an umbrella for the ministry gifts that God has given me. So I do a lot of pastoral consultation, a lot of motivational speaking. I'm a professional saxophonist. That is under that umbrella. I'm a degreed architect. That's under that umbrella. And also pro-life work that's not DLI-related is under that umbrella. And then in my spare time, I'm being facetious, I serve the national efforts of Douglas Leadership Institute. So I jokingly tell people I'm a classic underachiever. Mm-hmm. But the thing that's so neat about that, and I say this for our listeners, and this probably wasn't even on the agenda, our agenda, I think it was on God's agenda, is in all of those things that I'm doing, you know, I feel like there's no conflict. You know, whenever I'm meeting or on the air with you, I bring all of that to bear. And I say that for the listener that may be struggling with the gifts and callings on their life, where they feel like they have to do, you know, their Christian work and then their secular work. But in the kingdom, you know, it's not viewed like that. It's all God's work. If you're a banker, if you're a bagger in a grocery store, you're there on kingdom assignment if you're a child of the Most High God. So when we look at it from that perspective, it keeps us from being boxed in how we flow in the work of the Lord. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
It does. It does. Okay. Well, tell our listeners, if someone wants to get in touch with you or the Douglas Leadership Institute, how can they do that?
Yes, they can go to dlinstitute.org, dlinstitute.org for Douglas Leadership Institute, and they can get me there, or they can reach out to me directly at A. Culbreth, that's C-U-L, breath, like breath of life, A. Culbreth, at dlinstitute.org.
All righty. And the Douglas Leadership Institute, that is that located in Cincinnati?
No, the Douglas Leadership Institute is actually located in Virginia, mm-hmm. But we have representatives across the country. Actually, it's in Montgomery Village. I said Virginia. I'm sorry. We do so much work in Virginia. Mm-hmm. Montgomery Village, Maryland is where our headquarters is.
Okay, then. And, of course, that's with Dr. Dean Nelson as well, then.
Yeah, not doctor, but he would chuckle if he heard that recording, but it is Pastor Dean Nelson.
Okay.
And one of the things that's so neat about the way Douglas Leadership operates is when COVID-19 hit,
Pastor Culbreth, I'm going to have to jump in here right quick, and we'll pick up there on the other side. Our phone guest today is Pastor Arnold Culbreth. He's the National Director of Ministry Engagement with the Douglas Leadership Institute. We'll be right back.
is my life and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? In his presence I find safety, just knowing he's near brings joy in my sadness, peace in the time of storm, yeah. Brings hope when I'm hopeless, yeah. Protects me from my
music from the Walls Group. All praise goes to you. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Our phone guest today is Pastor Arnold Culbreth. He's the National Director of Ministry Engagement with the Douglas Leadership Institute. And Pastor Culbreth, before we go further, and we're going to pick back up with what you were sharing on the other side, but before we do, I want to ask if you'll take time specifically to pray for listeners to really have ears to hear what the Lord wants to say to them throughout this broadcast as the Holy Spirit speaks to them.
Amen. Let's pray. Father, we love you and we honor you, and we count it such a privilege, Father, to have access to technology such as this, Father, where I can be in Cincinnati, Ohio, and Pastor Parker can be in Mississippi, oh God, but we can touch the earth, the globe, oh God, with the message of Christ and encouragement for those that are hurting. Father, there are many people that are hurting in the midst of financial crisis, in the midst of racial unrest, in the midst of COVID-19 and physical distancing and all of that, God. And we just pray, Father, that during this broadcast that encouragement and refreshing and the peace of God that passes all understanding would overwhelm the listeners. God, give them ears to hear, Jesus. Open their minds, soften their hearts, Father, and allow there to be ease of receptivity regarding what's shared. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen. And Father, I too thank you for our listeners. Thank you for your Holy Spirit that's at work in each of our lives. And thank you, Lord, for the gift to the body of Christ that the Douglas Leadership Institute is. I pray that you'd stir every listener to better understand what role you've called us to, both as disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ and witnesses for Christ, but also believers who are boldly standing as ambassadors for life, standing for life and against the tragedy of abortion. Help us to know, Lord, all of us have a part. Help us to courageously hear your voice and hear your word and do it. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Amen. Before we went into the break, you were sharing about some of the things you all are doing in the midst of the COVID-19 pandemic.
Amen. Amen. Yes. It was kind of interesting how when COVID hit and it momentarily disoriented, that's a good way of putting it, various ministries that may not have been as positioned as they could have been to respond in a more mobile environment, that the work of Douglas Leadership Institute is national, and it's a network. And a lot of our work, while we do a lot of forums and roundtable meetings with pastors and leaders, we still do a lot of things virtually as well. So we were able to continue plowing ahead even in the midst of the coronavirus, and making accessible the Paycheck Protection Program that the Trump administration put in place. We helped hundreds of pastors, leaders, organizations in our network to access over $4 million of that Paycheck Protection Program. And we're not in the financial services business. Mm-hmm. We're in the people helping business. So what we did was connected them with sit with several qualified, competent financial institutions that could kind of methodically walk them through that process. And mm-hmm. I just talked to a pastor about 2 weeks ago who was in tears because that was his initial entree to the Douglas Leadership Institute, being connected by another one of our pastors and him getting access to those funds. Pastor Parker, he said he had lost hope relative to his church and ministry, and they're able to keep their doors open and thrive in the midst of pandemic.
Hmm. Well, praise God that the Lord had you in the right place at the right time. Thank the Lord. So,
okay. Amen.
Well, specifically, you are going to share today with us about a project that you all have called the Jeremiah 1:5 Project. Tell our listeners what that is.
Okay. Just prior to responding directly to the question, our listeners may not realize that, you know, there are over 60 million babies of all races and ethnicities that have been killed by abortion in these United States. Roughly 3,000 every day are legally killed in these United States by surgical abortion. I'm not even talking about chemical abortion, that is RU486, morning after pill, Plan B, which are abortifacient. Mm-hmm. They cause a chemical abortion within the womb of the mother. But about 60 million, and we're probably more like 65, 68 million at this point, but 20 million of those black babies that have been aborted since 1973 were black. Mm-hmm. And I like to draw a population-related comparison, okay, for comparative analysis. According to the United States Census Bureau, in 1960, there were 18,871,831 blacks living in America in 1960. So mm-hmm. for those that may be taking those 18,871,831 blacks living in America in 1960. If 20 million black babies have been aborted since 1973, then that means that we have aborted more black babies. Help me, Jesus. More black babies than the entire black population of 1960, Pastor.
That's such a sobering figure to consider as well. So,
It is. And to segue to the Jeremiah 1:5 project, people might not realize that Planned Parenthood, the leading promoter and provider of abortion, they say that by age 45, at least one out of every three women in the United States will have had at least one abortion. And I just did a podcast last week with Heartbeat International, which I work with pretty extensively, and they were talking about the high numbers of statistics of young women that come into the pregnancy help centers of our nation thinking that they're coming into an abortuary to get abortion services, but identify as Christian. So this dilemma is not something off to the side of the church. It's something that rests squarely within the church, because there are millions of men and women impacted by abortion, silently suffering in our church pews across this great land and country. Mm-hmm. And when you think about the strategies of the devil, the Bible says that we ought not be ignorant of Satan's devices. Well, one of the strategies that the devil used through Margaret Sanger, founder of Planned Parenthood, she wrote in a historic and infamous letter to Dr. Clarence J. Gamble of the Procter & Gamble Empire in 1939, concerning her dubious strategy to control the birth rate of black Americans. She wrote, "We should hire 3 or 4 colored ministers, preferably with social service backgrounds and with engaging personalities. The most successful educational approach to the Negro," she wrote, "is through a religious appeal. We don't want the word to go out that we want to exterminate the Negro population, and the minister is the man who can straighten out that idea if it ever occurs to any of their more rebellious members." So there are unfortunately too many black churches that have health fairs and things like that under the auspices of wanting to help their churches, where they'll have blood pressure screening, prostate checks, you know, things like that. They'll bring their mobile units where the men can go in and get a prostate check if they hadn't had one. But they'll also allow, oft times being paid to do so, a table or booth for Planned Parenthood to come in, and we know what they're peddling. Mm-hmm. So since pastors and ministers were the agents through which the devil, John 10:10, the thief comes for no other reason than to steal, kill, and to destroy. But Jesus said, I come that you might have life. Since ministers are the ones that open that door, that anti-life door to our community, I believe, Pastor, that pastors are the ones to close that door. So we launched our Jeremiah 1:5 project, which is intended to reach primarily, not exclusively, but primarily Black pastors on the issue of life. And the reason we're focused so heavily on Black pastors is because the Black community is decimated by abortion more than any other people group. But we welcome all pastors, white, Hispanic, Asian. We welcome all, because it's going to take all of us to end the genocide that is abortion.
That's right. That's right. Well, so tell us specifically, what are the different sides of what's the Jeremiah 1:5 project specifically about?
Amen. Amen. Well, Jeremiah 1:5, according to the New Living Translation, reads like this. This is God speaking to Jeremiah in utero. Okay? He's mm-hmm. in the womb. Mm-hmm. You know, or he's picturing him in the womb. He's actually an adult when he's sharing this with him. But in God's purview, he doesn't look at us in the womb and then look at us alive and then look at us old and look at us dead. He's an eternal God. So he sees the end of the thing from the beginning. He sees mm-hmm. it all, right?
That's right.
So he
That's
says
right.
to Jeremiah, I knew you before I formed you in your mother's womb. Mm-hmm. Before you were born, I set you apart, and I appointed you as my prophet to the nation. So I want to share just this simple outline with pastors who may want to preach life in their church. We mm-hmm. we immediately see three life-affirming keys in Jeremiah 1:5. The mm-hmm. first thing we see is the purview of God. Okay, God sees and knows us in the womb. The second thing we see is personhood. God acknowledges personhood even in the womb. So not only do Black lives matter, but pre-born Black lives matter as well. And thirdly, we see the purpose of God. God assigns purpose in the womb because he called Jeremiah to be a prophet to the nations, even in the womb. So pastors that sign up and stand with us will agree to three things: to pray, point into abortion, and that the goals of this project are achieved. The second thing is to preach that life comes from God, that is precious and should be protected. And thirdly, promote the Jeremiah 1:5 project by recruiting three other pastors to join us. So they can go to our website at dlinstitute.org/Jeremiah. I'll say that again, dlinstitute.org/Jeremiah. And they'll see a video there of me sharing the vision for this project. And they'll see the talking points that I just shared. And they'll also see a sign up right there where they can sign up. And maybe you're not a senior pastor and you don't have the authority to speak on behalf of your church. You can still sign up as an individual there. Or you may not be a minister of the gospel at all, but you want to get involved in this project. You too can sign up as an individual there. And we're welcoming everybody to join this pivotal project.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So again, you're saying it's largely geared towards pastors, but any believer that's interested in getting involved could potentially become involved.
That's absolutely right. Because think about the abolitionist movement, or think about the civil rights movement. You know, although there were many like Dr. King, Dr. Abernathy, Dr. Shuttlesworth, and others like that in the forefront, there were so many other everyday folks, so to speak, that were involved in helping to bring that reality to bear. Same thing with this. We need everybody participating, because you may be the voice. You may be, when I say you, I'm speaking figuratively, you know, and I'm speaking to the listeners. You may be the individual that helps get us to your pastor. You know, he might not hear what you've been saying, even though you've been saying all the right stuff. sometimes a pastor coming alongside of a pastor and having this conversation, it rings a little bit differently in his head and his heart.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Or
that's
her right. head and heart. I don't want to blow past the women pastors and preachers in the kingdom either. So I don't want to sound chauvinistic in my appeal, because we love them and we have many women pastors and ministers in our network.
Okay. Okay. Share the website one more time, please.
Yes, sir. DLinstitute.org/Jeremiah.
Okay. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the Jeremiah 1:5 Project. Thank you for Pastor Culbreth and the others that are involved with it. And Lord, thank you for the opportunity that that the Holy Spirit will have to use this to stir believers, pastors, and others to get more involved in becoming courageous witnesses standing for life and against abortion. Lord, bless this project indeed. Expand its territory. Cause your hand to be mighty upon it. Keep it from evil that it may not cause pain. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Our phone guest today is Pastor Arnold Culbreth. He's the National Director of Ministry Engagement with the Douglas Leadership Institute. We'll be right back. Music from Planet Shakers, Heaven on Earth. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Our phone guest today is Pastor Arnold Culbreth. He's the National Director of Ministry Engagement with the Douglas Leadership Institute. Pastor Culbreth, in this last segment, I want to ask if you would take, you touched on the topic of silent sufferers. Would you share with our listeners a little bit more about what you mean by that? And then we want to get into talking more about just some other issues that are on your heart before we conclude our time today.
Absolutely. I quoted a statistic a little bit earlier in the broadcast that Planned Parenthood, the leading promoter and provider of abortion, said that one out of every three women by age 45 will have had or has had at least one abortion. Okay. Now, for every pregnancy, with the exception of Mary, the mother of Jesus, there's a man involved, right?
Mm-hmm.
So
right.
Not only are countless women across our country hurting and suffering behind abortions that happened 10, 20, 30 years ago, but men are suffering as well, and
that's
men
right.
suffer differently. Mm-hmm. My precious wife, I've been married to my wife for 35 years. She's a pastor's daughter. I'm a pastor's son and a pastor. And, 2 years before we met, while attending Central State University in Wilberforce, Ohio, she had an abortion. And when we began dating, she shared that with me. And she thought that, this would disqualify us moving forward. You know, she said to me, Pastor Parker, that, you know, she said, I'm damaged goods. You know, if you don't want to move forward, I would understand. And God has since used that to launch me into national and international ranks, if you will, addressing this issue. And on last week, she accepted a job as a client counselor with a wonderful pregnancy center network here in our area, and God's going to use her tremendously. But how did she get to that point? Revelation 12 and 11 says that we overcome the devil by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Mm-hmm. And right now, I'm talking to the silent sufferer that's listening, that man, that woman, that that has had an abortion, and this broadcast, you didn't even think that you were going to land on a broadcast like this. You were flipping the channels, and you landed here and us talking about this topic, and you can't seem to change to something else. That's the Holy Spirit of the living God moving on your heart. And I want you to know that according to 1 John 1 and 9, it says, if we confess our sin, that God is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So I know the devil has racked you with guilt, feeling as though because you chose to end the life of your child that you're disqualified from the grace of God. But his arm is not short to forgive or to heal or to save or to deliver. So if you'll just surrender that sin to him right where you are, in your car, on the treadmill, in your living room, wherever you are, he can receive that right now. Amen. And I want to say to the pastors that that they need to hear your voice on this issue. Not hellfire and brimstone, but they need to hear your heart draped in love regarding the issue of life. The Bible says in Colossians 4 and 6, and I'm speaking to pastors now as a pastor, it says, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how you ought to answer every man. So let me just pray right now. First, I want to pray for the silent sufferers, and then I want to pray for the pastors who could be, if he or she speaks out, an answer to the solution for the silent sufferer. Okay. Father God, we lift up the men and women across this country, Father God. Some have been wrestling with the abortion that they had 40 years ago, God, and others might be wrestling with the abortion that they had 3 days ago, God, that we lift up those who are suffering behind the issue of abortion, oh God. Father, we pray that you would draw them to the cross, God, just like all sinners are. There's a level place at the foot of the cross, and the person that's had the abortion fits right in, and your grace and your love envelops them, oh God. Father, I pray that they would go to their phone book, oh God, and they would reach out to their local pregnancy help center, Father God, to get the free counseling services that are there at the vast majority of pregnancy help centers across this country. And God, I pray for pastors. I pray for men and women in the pulpit, oh God, that are afraid to address this issue. Yes, some of them because they have abortions in their background. Some of them for fear of losing members, God. Some for fear of feeling as though abortion is largely a political issue. God, it was a biblical issue before it was a political issue. Life is all, it comes from you. You're the creator and you're the giver of life. So we must declare life from the pulpits, oh God. God, forgive those that just refuse, oh God, sometimes because of Democratic Party alliances, to preach truth on this issue, oh God. So Father, draw the pastors, woo the pastors, heal the pastors, so that they can be healers to those that they serve, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. And you know, Pastor Carver, that the topic of just the whole idea of silent sufferers is such a big topic, and you know, it'd be easy for us to spend days on that. But just like you said, obviously many women who are hurting silently in the pews, but at the same time, many men who at one point coerced a girlfriend or a wife to get an abortion or pushed her into it. And then you have some men who didn't want the abortion to happen, but the woman chose to have it anyway, and they realized that their child, their son or their daughter is not here because the girlfriend chose. So lots of different situations, but the reality is, as you said, lots of people hurting because of the tragedy of abortion and how it touched their lives. So thank you for sharing that.
Right, and you're absolutely, you're welcome. And think about this dynamic. You know, you or I or a pregnancy center director in Anywhere USA goes to their local church, and they're wanting to talk to them about this message, and the secretary may be post-abortive, and she may be unhealed. So you've struck a nerve, and where that pregnancy center or that ambassador for life may go away feeling like, well, that pastor and that church are not for life. The message may not have even gotten to the pastor's desk because the post-abortive gatekeeper or secretary has squelched it at the door. Maybe the pastor wants to speak out on the issue, but his wife is post-abortive, and she tells him, don't address that issue. I was talking to a pastor who said to me, I mean of a large church, I won't say where it is, I won't say what his name is, because that's not the point I really want to make. The point I want to make is he said that he was afraid to deal with this issue because he felt like he would lose members. And he was talking about good-paying, tithing members. And I said to him an answer that I don't take credit for, it was the Holy Spirit. I said to him, sir, if you don't preach on this issue, you're already losing members. It might not be this generation, but the next generation. And I would be remiss, Pastor Parker, if I conclude this broadcast without personally on the air. I know you didn't ask me to do this, but I'm going to do it anyway. I want to personally thank you for showing your commitment to this issue by signing up to Douglas Leadership Institute's Jeremiah 1 and 5 Project. Thank you for that.
Okay, my privilege. And would you share one more time why pastors, as well as others who are listening, really should get involved? Again, they may have heard you and may not, but really share why every listener should prayerfully consider plugging in to this particular project.
Well, this project, I believe, is so powerful because it gives us the opportunity to reach millions. You know, we pastors, whether in person, you know, socially distanced with mass services, or streaming and Facebook Live and all the platforms we have, touch millions on any given week. So, but we've got millions who are hurting as a result of abortion. So we've got to include this. And one of the things we do at Douglas Leadership Institute is we walk alongside of pastors to help them get from point A to point Z. They might be listening to this broadcast and say, well, man, I'm not ready to preach a whole sermon about this issue. Well, there are other entry points. One entry point is when you extend an altar call and you're inviting people to receive Christ or to receive forgiveness, and you list off a handful of things that forgiveness is available for. Just add to that list if you've had an abortion. God can forgive you, because for so many people, there's a disconnect there. They feel like they can't receive forgiveness for this sin, even though they've received forgiveness for so many other sins. God's grace is not oblivious or non-effective regarding the issue of life.
That's right. That's right. And you know, Pastor Colbert, I think of this too. That, for example, when you may run into a pastor from time to time that may say something like, well, I've preached about it, my people know better, so I don't have that problem in my church. Well, typically, you know, you're dealing with a naive pastor, because the reality is, as you've touched on, abortion is so widespread, it basically touches every congregation in this nation. And so it's important that we recognize how widespread the tragedy of abortion is and how it has touched our nation in so many tragic ways. So
you're right. And most people learn through repetition. You know, I mean, if you're going to learn a song, if you're going to memorize a scripture, it's repetition. So, you know, the first time you say it, they may not hear you. The second time, they may vaguely hear you. The third time, maybe they might hear you. And then you might bring in a speaker from out of town and they may hear it for the first time. It's kind of like when we're raising our children and you've been teaching them about something and they don't seem to be hearing what you're saying. And then they go down the street, and Mrs. Johnson tells them, and they come home all excited, and they say, Mrs. Johnson told me that I need to brush my teeth every morning and every night. And you're thinking, well, I've been teaching you that for a long time, but they just heard it for the first time. You know?
That's right.
So the
pastor's
got to continue trumpeting truth on this issue in different creative ways. And do it in as many forms as possible. Do it in children's ministry. Do it in youth ministry. Do it in your young adult ministry. Do it in your women's ministry. Do it in your men's ministry. Mm-hmm. And when you do it in those forums, you know, these children that parents say, well, you can't talk about this topic. Brother, I've gone into churches and talked about this topic. And I don't have to, you don't have to get grotesque or super gruesome with it or anything. But many of these kids, I'm talking about kids born again, mm-hmm. church attending kids who have girlfriends, have friends that are either contemplating abortion or just had abortions. You know, I'm talking about fresh. You know, thinking about you sharing something abstract to them, and they're telling you, oh, Miss Sally just talked to me 2 days ago about she's pregnant and she's trying to get together the money for abortion. So as long as we withhold this information from them, mm-hmm. we're hurting ourselves, you know?
Right. That's right. And, you know, Pastor Colbert, it's important, just like as you alluded to, small children know lots about these realities. I'm reminded of an instance where two little boys, both of them probably younger than 8 years old, expressed that they were thankful that their mother didn't abort them. Well, for people to think, well, this topic is not for children. Children know about it. Children recognize that adults kill some children and adults keep some children. So to not address it, even amongst kids, can be both naive and negligent on our part as leadership in the church. So our time is just about...
You're absolutely right.
Mm-hmm, yeah. Go ahead. Our time is almost gone, though, but I'm going to ask if you'll just, the last few words you'd like to share with our listeners about how to get involved.
Amen. Amen. I want to encourage them to go to dlinstitute.org, dlinstitute.org/Jeremiah, and you can sign up right there. It's not an exhaustive kind of form. It's very quick and easy for you to fill out. If you're a pastor and you have the authority to speak on behalf of your church, there's a box for you to click. If you don't, you can click that. But please, ma'am, please, sir, get involved.
Amen. Pastor Gorbatz, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you for having me, Pastor.
And thank you for the great work you're doing, and keep up the great work as you continue to serve the Lord as a part of the Douglas Leadership Institute. Be blessed. Thank you for being a part of our listening family. We appreciate you listening. Hope that you will choose to get involved with the Jeremiah 1:5 Project. Please pray much for Pastor Colbert and the ministry of the Douglas Leadership Institute. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.